Welcome to another edition of Audience Interviews brought to you by Speed Art Museum, Anthology Senior Living, and Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet. I'm your host today, Doug Driesbach, and today we are excited to catch up with the president and CEO of Fund for the Arts, Kristen Boone, to talk about how they've been dealing with the past 9 months, how they've adjusted, and what the future might hold for them come the new year. Welcome, Kristen, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So the Fund for the Arts is it's an important anchor in the Louisville arts community and has a goal to provide arts access, education, diversity, and ultimately to promote the city as a nationally recognized city of the arts. Being nearly 10 months into this unprecedented public health crisis with COVID, combined with social and civil situations that we're all dealing with, how have some of your goals changed and how has the Fund for the Arts adjusted to everything?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, in 2017, we launched a new cultural plan with the now ironic name of Imagine 2020. And so just even to say that the name of that plan now just kind of brings a smile, because we could have never imagined, right, what 2020 would bring. But despite of all the challenges, I have just been, continued to be incredibly inspired by the work that our artists and organizations do and the continued generosity of our community to support that work. You know, the thing that for us, a lot of our we have goals around contributed income around our annual campaign. The pandemic hit in March. Our annual campaign usually closes at the end of June. And we immediately, our board expanded that campaign, turned it into a recovery campaign, and extended the timeline of that 2 months, with the goal of being able to really raise the money that our community, our artists, our creative community needed to be able to really stabilize through this this period. And with the help of donors that were able to unrestrict dollars, donors that gave more generously than before, we were able to raise just about $7 million this past year. That is, in 2020, that is less than the last few years, which we normally raise $8 to $8.5 million. So it was less, but it still was incredibly generous during a really tough economic period and period of uncertainty for so many. So those dollars were able to be invested in a number of ways. They're operating dollars for so many of our arts organizations, so provide really important stabilizing dollars for large, small, and emerging organizations to be able to continue to do their work. And one of the things I'm so proud of is that in many communities that are there are peers, arts organizations just closed their doors during the pandemic. They said, we're going to conserve cash. We're going to come back when we can welcome you back in the way that we know how, in our audit, in our theaters and in our concert halls. And so, you know, orchestras in Indianapolis and Nashville didn't run seasons, and theaters in Pennsylvania and Southern California, they said, we'll come back when this is all over. And they did that. But in our community, our artists and organizations says, our community needs us more than ever. And so they found ways to show up in new and different ways to continue to help our community deal with the social disconnection that was happening during our, you know, public health needed social distancing. It helped to bring joy and bring comfort in periods of fear and uncertainty. They reached out to our healthcare environments, our senior living environments, to bring joy and comfort to them during the pandemic as well. So there's so many reasons to be just incredibly proud of the work that has happened. during the, you know, after the death of Breonna Taylor and the racial justice movement that really came to light here in Louisville and across the country in June, we also reached out and said, how do we help elevate the voices of our Black neighbors, our Black artists, activists, to help make sure that this community is really having important conversations about moving forward towards greater equity. And so and we were able to make new investments in Black artists, in Black-owned restaurants, and helping to keep those conversations, those voices heard, those often untold stories given life. So although it didn't look as we thought it would, I think that the arts do as it always does, and it the arts this past year inspired us, comforted us, challenged us in many ways as well.
It was definitely inspiring to see some of the new areas you guys went into when it came to the racial situations in the community, especially since probably that wasn't a big initiative in past years. So to see you guys adjust so quickly with that was really exciting. So going into those new areas and goals, have you seen different strengths or weaknesses come out of some of that, to where maybe things that the fund is now doing to help people or just inspire the arts as a positive trait for everybody to enjoy? It's not a racial thing or a political thing. It's a space where kind of you let your world melt away and you focus on a performance or an art piece or those kind of things. Have you seen that transpire?
Yeah. Well, I will say one is that over the last several years, and it really came out of this Imagine 2020 cultural plan that was launched. There were five priorities. One of those priorities, and the one that I will say was the loudest at the time and felt the most urgent, was the priority of equity, diversity, inclusion. So that was in 2017. So over the last few years, both our cultural community and the Fund for the Arts, that has been one of the key priorities. And so so the good news is that this isn't new work for the fund, and it's not new work for the cultural community overall. It is work that we had been taking steps towards. We had recognized the and had begun to address some of the historical inequities, some of the funding changes that the fund has made over the last 3 years were in recognition of historical inequities. A lot of training and of our executive arts leadership who and also of our board to be able to think about how do we make sure that our boards, our leadership, our staff, our audiences do represent the community and everyone in it. And so the good news is that that isn't new work. And it also meant that for many of our artists and organizations, we were ready to be a part of those conversations as opposed to being surprised by them. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, throughout history, the arts have helped people to better understand each other. And so whether it is song, whether it is poetry, whether it is visual art, that is part of what helps all of us both share our what sometimes are our frustrations or our anger or our grief or sadness, but also helps to be able to promote that empathy and understanding and ultimately the healing that will be needed for our community to really be a place where everyone can thrive.
Absolutely. So with all these great initiatives, of you brought it up a couple of times, the funding is so important. When you guys extended the campaign last year, a couple of months due to, or this year because of everything, did your pitch change or did your ask change for funders as far as the new situation that with everything is, and the things in the community you guys are doing differently? And was there a different ask when you went to your donors?
Yeah, I think it had to be. I mean, I think if for, you know, if we went to the community and said, you know, we want to, you know, ask you for support for, you know, the world changed, right? You know, the world flipped upside down on us. And so we had to be of the moment and to be relevant to that. And so, you know, we had to say that your support means access that often means, you know, in public spaces, or it may mean our museums. For a period of time, it meant that that would be online, or that that would be virtual, or that that would be small, small audiences. For many of us, we know that the arts are so important to the education of our children. The integration of the arts helps kids to better learn, and those that study heavily in the arts are more likely to graduate high school and go on to college. There's great benefits to that. But what we knew is that schools couldn't come to field trips. We couldn't have artists go in the classroom when children were working NTI or, you know, going to school online. So our teaching artists quickly pivoted with the teachers from the schools to say, how do we provide this kind of enriching experience to kids in a new, different way? So the resilience and the innovation that came out of our artist community was really incredible. And that's what we needed to talk to donors about, is what was needed now for this community to continue to move forward. We also knew that because for nearly all of our arts organizations, the earned income, whether it was ticket sales, subscriptions, admissions, sponsorship, class tuition, all came to a screeching halt. And so we knew that dollars simply to stabilize organizations so that they could weather the storm of this pandemic and be ready to rebound and to be part of our community's long-term economic recovery, that some stabilization dollars were going to be needed. And so we needed to be able to talk with our donors in our community about how the needs were different right now.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening to another edition of Audience Interviews, brought to you by Speed Art Museum, Anthology Senior Living, and Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet. We're here with President and CEO of Fund for the Arts, Kristen Boone. So Kristen, as we move into a new year, and everything that we've covered so far just today, are your priorities similar to what you've identified earlier this year for next year? And what are some of your top priorities moving forward with an unknown future, really?
Yeah. Well, I will say that we have really begun to change our focus. Clearly, you know, there's uncertainty, so stabilizing, it's still important. Still being showing up in new and different ways is important, as it will be into the future. But we're really moving our focus to how do we help this community heal. The racial justice, the historic inequities that our community has faced. This kind of healing as a community, having important conversations, dismantling long-time, historic racism in our institutions and in our policies is going to take time, but it will take those important actions to be able to heal as a community. So the arts are going to be an important part of that healing. It's also going to be an important part of as we come out of this pandemic, bringing people back together. The arts will be one of the first things that people will come together for. They will come together for concerts. They will come together for performances. They will come together for events. And in the long term, the arts are going to be a pivotal part of the economic recovery of our downtown, of our tourism industry, of our restaurant and hospitality industry as well. And so as we look forward, the focus will be on the healing and rebuilding of this community. And we know that the arts have a really unique and powerful role in that.
So you really touched on the million-dollar question. You know, it's what's it going to take to get people comfortable going downtown, feeling safe, and not only from, you know, what we've seen in the media and everywhere from the civil situation, but the COVID situation, when people will be comfortable watching a performance with other people and whatnot. I was downtown just last week, felt very comfortable, felt like there was nothing really to be scared about going downtown. But it's going to be a big community push to let people know, hey, you can come back downtown. And so what do you think it'll take to get people to feel comfortable going back downtown when the time is right, not only for the safety issues, but for the COVID issues? Where do you think that has to be for people to come back down to see shows and eat at restaurants and kind of enjoy our city?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, clearly we have to, you know, follow the guidance of our public health officials. And you know, as they determine that it's safe for us to gather inside, as they determine, you know, what is the right number of people that can safely gather together, as the vaccine is distributed and more people have that that immunity, I believe that part of it will be having a reason to come downtown and to come together. And so, you know, in the arts, we're going to be able to create, you know, that kind of energy, that kind of excitement with events and performances and productions, doing what the artists know best, which is to thrill and to delight. And so as our public health officials say that it is safe to gather, I think you're going to see an explosion of creativity. You know, there is no, you know, downtown is completely safe, as anywhere else is. I'm downtown. And so that will be simply people, you know, once people like are in these spaces again, they'll recognize that. So that, I think it will just take the public health officials really saying that that we can gather. And you will see the artistic reason and the new projects, the new innovations will bring people downtown because there will be so much excitement and so much to see. And so I cannot wait for those days. And I know that that it won't take long for us all to quickly forget these months of isolation and seeing not art in the live. I think that that the moment we're in a concert hall together and we feel the music, you know, kind of in our bones again, will be a really incredible moment for all. So we'll quickly forget these months of isolation.
Well, you guys do a great job with everything, and we're excited to see how it goes. Moves forward over in the future. So what are the best ways for people to support the Fund for the Arts in 2021 and beyond that?
Yeah.
What are some of those things as far as, is it strictly a monetary situation or? Go.
So there's a number of ways to support the Fund for the Arts and the creatives in our community. One is to simply go to fundforthearts.org and make a gift. Our work is supported by nearly 20,000 donors. Many of them give between $1 a week and $10 a month. So please sign up to be a sustaining donor through the Fund for the Arts. Your support is critical to this work. I would also encourage that you follow us on social media, whether it's through Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. There are many ways that we encourage not just the support through the Fund for the Arts, but to participate in all of the arts, whether it's buying your holiday gifts, buying your season script subscriptions in advance. Think about the many ways that you can engage with our local arts community that really is going to be that key part of healing and rebuilding this community for the future.
Fantastic. Well, we really appreciate your time today. Good luck on all the exciting things that are going on at Fund for the Arts. And everybody, thank you for listening to another edition of Audience Interviews brought to you by Speed Arts Museum, Anthology Senior Living, Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet. And be sure to check us out on audience502.com for the latest information on the arts and entertainment of Louisville. Kristen, have a great holiday season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, too.